Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you know who the guy on the right is? Okay, who's the guy on the left? Ah, very good. Charlie Rich. Back in 1975, Charlie Rich, who had been the entertainer of the year for the Country Music Association, he was given the honor of presenting the next award. And that award went to John Denver, who had not experienced, again, this is 1975, he had not experienced a warm reception at that point in the country music community. In fact, many people detested him and his style of country rock. So when Charlie Rich opened the envelope, rather than simply announce John Denver's name, Charlie took out a cigarette lighter, set fire to the paper bearing the winner's name, and walked off the stage. He didn't like who was picked. He didn't think that John Denver was worthy of such an honor. Now, picking someone to win an award is one thing. Imagine God picking someone worthy enough to be the earthly father of his child. That choice comes with a greater consequence than any award show or game show. According to the gospel reading today, God picked a righteous man to be the earthly father of his only son, Jesus Christ. Though he was a lowly carpenter, that didn't exclude him from being judged by God to be a righteous man. There is no honest vocation that excludes a person from a right relationship with God. Our relationship with God is based on faith in God's Son, who's also the son of this righteous carpenter, Joseph. Since God deemed Joseph a righteous man, it might seem a good thing for us to look at what we know of Joseph and what he can teach us about, you know, what we can learn about this righteous, what a righteous man is like. We know this. We know that he was faithful. He went up to the temple each year at Passover. Now, we learn that later in Matthew when Jesus was left behind in the temple. And we know that Joseph followed God's guidance. We see that in his obedience to the messenger of God in verse 24 today, which says, When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And we also know that Joseph was a steadfast man. He did not desert Mary, as many men would have in the situation of finding his fiancée pregnant. And he also was patient. When the Lord told him to take the child and his mother and go to Egypt, he went. He went and he waited. He waited. He waited until the Lord told him to return after Herod's death. Now, how long that was, we don't know for sure. It's likely that the time was many months or maybe even a few years. But during that time, Joseph remained with Mary and Jesus and did what a righteous man should do. He looked after his young family. So in Joseph, we see these things lived out: faithfulness, patience, trust, obedience, and steadfastness. Now, all of these things tell us of the heart of this man. Now, these things did not make Joseph perfect, but they did speak of the type of man that he was. And in him, we have a high example to follow. We tend to take him for granted, though. He did his bit, and so we just file him away as another good guy, and then we move on. But that really doesn't do him justice. He is called righteous. And notice that's tied to the attitude of his heart and mind. It says, Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, for that bit of information to be known to the gospel writer of Matthew today, he's our gospel writer, Matthew must have either had contact with Joseph or Mary. Most scholars feel that this information likely comes from Mary. Can you imagine the talks that she and Joseph must have had in their years of raising Jesus together? At some point, Joseph surely must have told her what was in his mind to do when he found out she was pregnant, and of that dream that he had had to convince him to do otherwise. Imagine also what she had to tell Joseph about being visited by the angel Gabriel, and then being pregnant. What a marriage counseling session that would have been. I don't want to even think about that. But we're told that a quiet divorce is what Joseph had in mind so as not to bring Mary into public shame. Again, we see in Joseph here an attitude of the heart reflected in the actions of this man. And that's one of the most important things that we can learn from Joseph, that what is in our heart comes out in our actions. What's in our hearts on this Sunday before Christmas? Now, I know that next week lots of gifts are going to be opened. So I want to tell you a little story that can help us to remember that what Joseph chose to focus on in his heart is what came out in his actions. Now, the story is about these two identical twins. One was an optimist. Everything was hope-filled. Everything's coming up roses, he would say. And the other one, not so much. He was sad, and he was kind of more or less a hopeless pessimist. So the parents were worried. They took the boys to a psychologist, and he suggested to the parents a plan to balance out the twins' personalities. He told them this. He said, on Christmas morning, put them in separate rooms. Don't keep them in the same room. Put them in separate rooms to open their gifts. Give the pessimist the best toys you can afford, and give the optimist a box of manure. Now the parents followed these instructions and carefully observed the results. When they peeked in on the pessimist, they heard him complaining, I don't like the color of this bike. I bet this calculator is going to break as soon as I use it. I don't like this game. I know someone who has a bigger toy than this. Well, they tiptoed across the corridor, and the parents peeked in, and they saw their little optimist, who was gleefully throwing manure high in the air. He was giggling. You can't fool me, he said, where there's this much manure, there's got to be a pony somewhere. The point is that whatever you choose as your attitude in life is what will come out in your actions. It will come out in your actions and in your words. Now, I'm not talking about just choosing a simplistic Pollyanna close-your-eyes outlook on life. It's not that you close your eyes to reality and plunge ahead. No. In fact, it is the opposite of that. You keep your eyes wide open to what's going on, and you realize that the gift that God has given us in the son of his carpenter supplies us with the deepest reason for choosing a positive outlook in life. The abiding new life that is ours in a right relationship with God comes to us as his Christmas and as his Easter gift to us and his gift for us. His gift to us is of Jesus is the reason that we can choose joy. We respond to God's gift in how we live our lives. And what we do with that gift will be judged. That is God's prerogative alone. We are not to judge each other. We are not to judge each other or others in how they respond to God's grace. Now, St. Paul reminds us of that in the book of Romans that we read from earlier. He writes in chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, "Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." We will give an account of how we handled the grace of God that has come into the world and that has come to each of us in our baptism into Jesus, this son of Joseph the carpenter. Joseph reflected a faithful relationship with God, and God named Joseph a righteous man for his faith. Joseph was raised to trust that God would keep his word of a promised Messiah, and Joseph's hope was in that promised word. Though the angel of the Lord came and explained things, until that happened, Joseph didn't know that he would see God's promised salvation himself. And now he was being told that, in fact, his own bride was the fulfillment out of the words of our Old Testament lesson today. Verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Joseph was given the word of God in a dream that spelled out his part in fulfilling this particular prophecy of God. Joseph acted on what God told him, and his actions reflected the attitude of trust that was in his heart. Now remember, we started out talking about Joseph being called righteous, that he was a man of faith, and that his life reflected that faith. Would God pick a man whose life did not reflect a relationship with him as the earthly father for his son? I don't think so. We follow Joseph's example so as to reflect our attitude also of trust in God alone. Joseph responded to the word that God gave him. He acted faithfully and in trust. We do that same thing. We act on the word of promise that God has given to us. Now, we may all think that God would never pick me like he did Joseph. God wouldn't pick me because I'm not a righteous person. And we're right. But here's the thing about God's love and grace. He does pick you. In Christ, God has made you righteous by Christ's birth, by his death on the cross, and by his resurrection from the grave. Through him, God has made, and so declares you to be, righteous. And he does pick you, like he did Joseph. He picks you to introduce this world to Jesus. You bring Jesus to this world. You have the same joy of introducing Jesus to the world that you live in, just as Joseph did in his world. God in his Son, Jesus Christ, has made us righteous and gives us the joy of Joseph. The coming of this child, Jesus, into our lives restores us to a right relationship with God. And that gift remains long after this particular Christmas season is over. That gift changes our attitude into one of joy because of the gift of faith we've been given and the righteousness that's been made ours in Joseph's Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.